The Lord. Okay, I want to share it with you. Luke 17, I want to talk to you about having a thankful heart. It doesn't happen much in this old sinful nature that we have, but we have a good example here of a thankful heart. Most human beings are not thankful to God. And they're not thankful to their parents. They're not thankful to anybody, you know. So this, I'm just going to show you three men who were thankful. Okay. In Luke 17, we'll start with verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
Amen.
And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, bless the reading of your word today. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the wonderful people here today. I pray for those that didn't get to come because they were sick or detained. I pray for those who didn't come because they're fearful, God, and they've been influenced by the wrong people, and they need to get back in your book and get off the television. But, Lord, I pray you'd bless them anyway. Maybe they'll watch by the Facebook Live today or some other way, but I pray for them. But these are here, God. They were thankful enough that they came to church on the Lord's Day. So I pray you'd bless us, Lord, and meet with us as you promised you would. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, there's some evidences of a thankful heart. You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
There are some evidences of a thankful heart. I'll be honest with you, before I was saved, I was not always thankful. I wasn't thankful to my mom. I wasn't thankful to people that loved me. I wasn't thankful like I ought to be to people that cared about me. I remember after I got saved, I called my mom, and I remember, not long after that, I apologized to my mama. I apologized. I said, Mama, I'm sorry. I've treated you so bad. I'm sorry, Mama. And Mama said, that's all right. That's all right. Because she loved me. And God's the same way. We're not thankful to God like we ought to be.
We're not.
You say, well, you don't know my heart. Yeah, but I can see the evidence.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I can see the evidences. You can't judge me. I'm not judging you. The evidence is. Amen. You ever notice that when people go to court? It's not the judge that judges them. It's their own evidence that judges them. The judge don't find you guilty. The jury doesn't find you guilty. Your own evidence prove your guilt or your innocence. Amen. And it's the same way with thankful heart. There's a lot of people don't have it. I'm talking about saved people. Saved on their way to heaven. No, if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. But they're not thankful like they ought to be to God. They're not thankful. And today I want to show you three men and show you their evidence of a thankful heart. There's a lot of ways we can show our thanks. There's a lot of ways we can do it. Now, everybody's way is not the same way. But there are ways, the evidence that you are saved by you wanting and attempting to show that you have a thankful heart. Number one was this man. Number one. Did you know the way he showed his is here's one that worshiped. He worshiped God. Now, it says that he went back And he turned around, and I think it's verse 12, it says, it says there were 10 lepers. But then it says in verse 16, he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And in verse 15, it says that with a loud voice, he glorified God. That man worshiped God. Why? Because he is thankful. You want to know what's wrong with a lot of church members, the reason they don't care anything about worship? They're not thankful. Now, I don't know if they're not thankful because they're not saved at all. Amen.
Yeah.
Or they're not thankful because they're not good children of God. I don't know. That's not for me to determine. I don't know their heart. But I know the evidence.
Right.
I know the evidence. Brother Ron, we worship God because we're thankful to God.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to worship God. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go to hell if I don't worship Him like I ought to. I'll still go to heaven. Of course, that's going to not look good when I get there. And if you don't enjoy worship down here, you better not go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, I don't like y'all shouting Baptists. Well, you better not go to heaven then, because it's going to be full of shouting Baptists. Amen. Amen. I was trying to get a guy to come to church one night. He says, well, I like a quiet church. I like a church where everything's quiet. I said, I don't. I said, cemetery's quiet. I think you'll let somebody know you're alive every once in a while. Amen? Amen. And here's one man out of ten. Now the good thing about it is the reason he worshiped this the Lord is because even though he was sick, he found the right physician. Now, a lot of y'all been going to doctors, and Amanda's going through that right now, and going to all these doctors, and it seems like Christianity has turned our faith over to doctors and scientists.
Yes.
That's the way it looks to me. Now, I'm not telling you don't take medicine. I'm not doing that. Some of you need it. Amen. I'm talking about you. Other, you know what I'm saying. I'm not telling you don't take medicine. I'm not doing that. But I'm saying this. Why don't we go to the great physician first?
Yes.
Amen. That's right. That's right. And then when a doctor comes on TV and says you better not go to church, who am I to obey? That physician or the one that saved me?
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And why would I want to turn my faith and my life over to a scientist? Who believes that I evolved from some little piece of pebble or something. Amen.
Yeah.
He believes I evolved. He thinks that we started out as a little eyeball and swam through the ocean and somehow got up on land, grew some legs, and then we walked around and got up on our feet, and then we grew a tail and it wrapped around a tree and we swung from it before we ever became man. Well, his grandma might have been a monkey, but mine wasn't. Amen. Amen. Why would I turn my faith over to him? He doesn't even believe in God. If he says he does, he's a liar because he believes in evolution. So, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a physician that can heal me physically, spiritually, emotionally, every which way I can. Now, I need the same physician that this man found. Here's 10 lepers, and they're walking down the road. And, by the way, the Jewish law said you couldn't come around people when you had leprosy. Leprosy was an incurable disease. And they wouldn't let people around you when you got it. And the one that determines you got it was not a doctor. It was a priest. You went to the preacher and he looked at that patch on your hand and he says, all right, we're going to give that 7 days. And there's rules for how he determined whether or not it was leprosy. And I never saw where one was wrong. They were always right. Amen. And then when he found out it was leprosy, he told him, he said, all right, now we got to check your house to see it's in your house. And then they check out the house. They purify the house. And then he'd say, all right, now you've got it. You got to leave your family. You can't live with your family because you don't want them to get it. So you just go out there in the wilderness somewhere and the only way you're going to live is people's going to have mercy on you.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is ministering one day and down the road comes 10 men covered with leprosy. Now these men were not related. They were strangers to each other, but their common problem brought them together.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of common problems will bring you together with other people. There's a beer joint right up here. They got a common problem every time they meet there. Amen. Amen. And so their problem brought them together, and they've heard that Jesus could heal. So they cry out to Jesus, said, have mercy on us, just like you did with your problems. All of them. Not just your spiritual, all problems. And by the way, if you do that, God may give you a good physician. And so they cry out for mercy. And he said, what do you want? They said, we want to be healed. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say you're healed.
Right.
He said, go show yourself to the priest. You know why? Because that's what the law said.
Amen.
The Judeo law, the Hebrew law, the law of Moses written by God said they had to, if they wanted to be, if they thought they had been cleansed, they're to go back to the priest and he was to determine and announce whether or not they were healed and clean. There was a process they had to go through and going to the priest. So Jesus is keeping the law of God.
Yes, sir.
Now he didn't say be healed, but he said, go show yourself to the priest. So that was what he was saying was, if you really believe I can heal you, go see the priest, you're healed.
Yep.
So they turn and they start walking. And as they walk, every one of them realize they're healed.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Why? Because they obeyed God.
Yeah.
By faith.
Yes.
They asked. And they walked as if they were already healed.
Yes.
Now sometimes you just gotta do that. You just gotta claim the victory before you ever see it.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
And that's the way it is most of the time. Most of the time you gotta claim the victory before you see it.
Amen.
And a lot of people say, well, I ain't gonna believe it until I see it, Thomas. Not that Thomas, the other Thomas. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to see it till you believe it.
That's it.
It's called faith. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. And these men turned. They knew he'd healed these other people. They knew he'd raised the dead. They knew he gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. So they thought, well, if he said go show the priest, that's the next step. We're going to go ahead and see the priest. And a lot of times I'll pray with people and I'll say, now go see the doctor. And you say, well, that's not good faith. Yeah, it is. That's going by faith for the doctor to tell you it looks like things are getting better or things are healed.
Amen.
So that's called faith. Now, so these men turn and they head back to the priest and they realize that the leprosy has gone. But only one. Only one out of ten, only one returned to give thanks to the one that healed them. Now think about this. How many times in our life has God done a miracle in our life or a great work in our life? And we knew it was God. Only God could have done that.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
And we do not return and give thanks to God and worship God like we ought to. And he's already done the work.
Amen.
And that's common. We see here 1 out of 10 is 10%. I've always said, and I've been preaching now for 40 years. I told you, I wrote it down the other day. I've probably preached 6,000 sermons if you count funerals and fellowship meetings and revivals. And that ain't even Sunday school lessons. I've preached probably about 6,000 sermons since I've been preaching. That don't make me smart or good, but I can tell you this. I can tell you right now there's only about 10% of the people that claim to be saved have the evidence.
Come on now.
Because they're not only about 10%, really. I'm talking about as a whole of all the people that I've met and dealt with as Christians, only about 10% of them ever return and worship God and give him thanks for what he does for them.
Amen.
At the Lord's Supper, the Lord asked a blessing over the meal that night. And I can tell you right now, there's very few church members even bowed their head at home and prayed a blessing over their meal with their family. And then they wonder why their kid turns out to be Antifa or Black Lives Matter. Amen. Now one worshiped. He, look, In verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. And then verse 15, 16, he says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I don't believe in secret Christians, by the way. Y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
With a loud voice, he glorified God. And let me tell you something. If you ever get saved, you'll glorify God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm tired of people telling me, well, I'm saved, I'm just not emotional. Well, you get saved, you'll get emotional.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. You ain't going to hell. That ought to make you emotional. I mean, you're not doomed and damned anymore. That ought to make you emotional. Preacher, I thought you were talking about healing. I am. He's talking about spiritual healing. I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, look, well, to thank God for our healing, whatever it is, by faith. Go ahead and thank God. I've sat with many people that had terrible diseases and accidents and things like that. And we'd pray for God to heal, intervene. And they'd say, well, what's going to happen now? I said, whatever God determines needs to happen right now. Well, what if he don't heal me? I said, you'll be healed.
One way or the other, yeah.
You'll be healed.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I mean, there's only one real healing anyway. That's on the other side.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, don't go to sleep on me now. Listen. And I thank God this man came back. And all 10 heard it. And all 10 experienced it. But only one returned to worship God and give thanks. Now, what is even sadder about this, the world has learned this.
Right.
And it's, we talk about it on Monday nights for those of you who don't come. Satan has arranged everything you're looking at right now in the public, in the office, in the vote. Now, he's arranged this, and the only way he could do it is because of now all this new technology and communication, 24 hours, 7 days a week, every day, every night, all night long, all day long. And it's a continual pounding with bad news. You're going to die. Everybody you know is going to die. Everybody's going to get sick. Everybody's going to die. Don't listen to those people. They're racist or they're homophobic. Bad news. Boom, 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 all day long. And people sit there and they listen to that. And if they had any faith, they lose it.
Yes.
But if you're truly thankful that God does something in your life, you will thank God.
Yes.
And by the way, if you don't do it now, He'll fix it where you will. You don't know how many don't do it till the last minute. You know what they say? I wish I'd have done it more.
That's right.
I wish I'd done it more. How many times do we have to lose a parent or a loved one before we say, I wish I'd loved them more. I wish I'd thanked them more. I wish I'd paid more attention to them. The same way with God. Now, look at Luke 18. Luke 18:35. I want to show you another man. This man was like the Apostle Paul that we just read, the leper that was healed. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me tell you something. If you're ashamed of Jesus, there's something wrong with your faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he wasn't ashamed. 9 of them were, but he wasn't. He was thankful and praised God and worshiped God. Here's another one in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, start with verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come down to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. That's what they're doing to us now. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood, he stopped, and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now he doesn't have to ask him that question. He's God, he knows. It gives the man the opportunity. See? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. But it didn't stop there like it does with most Baptists. Yeah. And followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Yeah. Now, that other man was a man that, because of his faith, he worshiped God. He worshiped the Savior. This man, because of his faith, Brother Ron, he walked with God. He followed him. Do y'all say that? It says he followed him. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody that makes a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and they do not follow Christ.
Amen.
They're believers in name only. They may profess it with their lips, he said, but their heart is far from it. You say, preacher, I just don't see a necessity for this Christian life stuff and going to church and serving the body of Christ in the church and serving them out there like taking them too much soup to eat. I don't see no need in all that. Well, you know why you don't see it? Because you ain't got it. That's mean, ain't it, Brother Holroyd? And my wife's a teacher, but I'm going to say it anyway. In my South Carolina English, you ain't got it. Amen. If you're not a follower of Christ, you can profess him all you want to. You are not a Christian if you're not a follower of Christ. Or at best, you're a backslidden worldly Christian. He followed him. Well, why would he do that, preacher? The man was blind. He asked for his sight. Jesus gave him his sight, but he didn't stop there. He said, your faith has saved you.
Yes.
And because of that, the man loved Jesus. And if you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. And if you love somebody, you want to glorify them. And if you love somebody, listen, you will follow them. I don't know what people follow now. It's not Jesus. The other man worshiped. He worshiped as a result of Jesus' healing him. This man walked as a result of Jesus healing him. And he followed Jesus. Look at John 15, if you will, verse 1 through 7. I feel like a novice like Thomas this morning. I just want to preach on. I had to shake my watch at him this morning. He was teaching Sunday school. He got so excited. I was held up my watch. He said, I can't see that. Undoubtedly couldn't see that one back there either. It was 10 minutes till. I had to stop him. I said, we'll finish this next week. I love you, Thomas. I'm picking at you. John 15, 1 through 7. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. That, in other words, he owns it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You got a little dried up branch on your fruit tree. What do you do with it, Devin? You don't know. You ain't never grown nothing. What do you do with it, Billy? Cut it off. It's useless. And he take it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. You know what that means? Keep the little old bad places cut off. Tend it. Purge it. Cut things. And that bear fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth what?
More fruit.
Whoa. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. That's works. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's him in you doing the work, not you. Okay. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Amen. You can't cut that branch off and lay it over there on the chair and expect it to grow something. It ain't going to do it. You have to stay attached to the vine, okay? Except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. You won't bear any fruit either, unless you stay in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Why? Because they're useless. They're useless. Oh, dead branch. Useless. That you need. Well, you can't use that for a hickory switch. It'll break. You need a green one for a hickory switch so it'll be bendable. And, that's supposed to be a joke. Y'all ain't never been whipped with a hickory switch. And, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You want to know why a lot of people don't get their prayers answered? They're not abiding in Christ.
Come on now. Yeah.
And the only time they pray is when they want something.
Yeah.
They don't worship him. They don't walk with him. They're not followers of the teachings of Christ. You say, preacher, you're judging people. No, again, I'm telling you, the evidence judges those people. I'm not the judge. The evidence is the judge. It's obvious if you don't walk with the Lord, you're not one of his. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to show you another one in Luke chapter 8. Now, I showed you one that worshiped. And I showed you one that walked. Now I want to show you one that witnessed. Look in Luke chapter 8. By the way, there ain't much witnessing going on. I pray every day, Lord, I pray just what he told me to pray. Send us laborers, because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's no shortage of sinners. There's more sinners today than there's ever been in man's history. Because there's more people. And for every righteous act you see today, you'll see 100 unrighteous acts. People just wanting to honor their president and march on Washington D.C., supposed to be our capital. And they're attacked and they're maligned by the news media. And they're called fanatics and crazy people and incorrigible and all them. Look. For every righteous act, there's 10 against it. There's no shortage of sinners. There's no shortages of sin or unrighteousness. It's plentiful. So, Brother Ron, you and I know the problem is not the sinner. The sinner's doing what he comes natural to. He or she is sinning.
Yes.
They were born that way. The problem is those that claim to follow Christ. They claim to worship Christ. They're in church this morning and they're dancing. And I was in one the other day. And who turned my light off? Hey, turn that on. So I'm teasing. I don't know if it works or not. Does that work on that camera? But they were dancing. Look, I was in one the other day. The ceiling's painted black. Amen. Now you can see me. I wonder why I couldn't see my Bible. And they were, hey, look, this church is now, they paint it black and they got black lights and they got neon lights and they say they're worshiping and they say they're followers of Christ and maybe they are, but if they are, they're certainly not like this man right here, Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes. Boy, that's revealing the day we live in, don't they? They wear no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." But it was not the man speaking, it was the demons. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. This is the demons. Don't cast us out there. Don't cast us out there. And there were there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them, allow, this old English way of saying it, to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. By the way, I've been watching TV. There's a lot of devil-possessed people nowadays. You can't. Look, I grew up lost with some wicked people. I've never heard people talk like this crowd.
Right.
Especially the women and children. I've never heard. I've heard men say everything, but I've never heard men and I've never heard women talk like this. Never.
Right.
Never. And I knew some wicked women that didn't talk like the day we're in. Devils. They're full of devils.
Yes.
And then the devils went out of the man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them, fed the hogs, said what was done, when they saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now here's some lost sinners running to town to tell what Jesus just did. It was amazing. By the way, if Christians act more like Christians, we might have some run in town telling about what we do too.
Right.
Then they went out to see what was done. And it came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. By the way, if you get thoroughly right with God, you'll scare people.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll scare people.
Oh, yeah.
I went down there to Lancaster to preach and saw some people I hadn't seen in 30 years. I think, and when I preached, I think they were a little bit scared of me. They knew where I come from, you know, and yet God spoke. And look, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means that was possessed of the devil was healed. Now I want you to notice that. Here's a man. He didn't turn around to worship or thank the Lord through his worship. He didn't turn around to walk or thank God in his walk, his life. But he was so thankful all of a sudden that the whole town couldn't believe it. Then the whole multitude of the country of Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. Jesus. They said, "Leave us. Leave us." They're scared of him. And they're scared of this man. And by the way, if we ever get thoroughly right with God, they don't want to be in there with you. That's why they don't come to church with you. It's not that they don't like your preacher. It's they don't like the one he's talking about.
Yes.
And it scares them. When I say stuff like this, it scares lost people or hypocrites. It scares. Now, and besought them to depart, for they were taken with great fear and went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, look at verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee." And he went his way and published, he told it, he published it throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now here's one that witnessed because he was healed. He was so thankful that he witnessed. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel And by the way, that won't be much good pretty soon anyway. But I wouldn't give you a plugged nickel for anybody that professes faith in Jesus Christ who does not show their thankfulness by witnessing to others. Well, I just don't want think that. I don't want them to think I'm a fanatic. That's not it. You're ashamed of Jesus. That's exactly what it is. I'm talking to the television too. You're ashamed of Jesus. That's why you don't witness. I wonder how many people is going to go to heaven because of people hearing me right now. I wonder how many of the people that's listening to me right now are going to be the reason someone else heard the gospel and went to heaven or the word witness. I'd hate to go to glory and have lived such an unthankful life that God had saved me and kept me out of hell and healed me and did all kinds of things for me. My doctor told me, said, Ron, are you telling people about these miracles God's done for you? I said, I'm telling it, Doc. I'm telling it. He said, you'll tell people.
Yes.
And I'd hate to wake up in glory and there'd be nobody in heaven, not a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a brother or a sister or a spouse or a loved one that would even be in heaven because I loved him enough and I witnessed to him because I was thankful for what God had done for me. What's your evidence? Well, I'm thankful, preacher. What's your evidence? Is anybody going to heaven because of you? Well, I live it in front of them. Well, there's a Muslim over there doing the same thing. There's a Hindu over there doing the same thing. Matter of fact, they eat better than we do and live longer than we do. But let me tell you something. They've got, how can they hear without a preacher?
Right.
He sent him home to his own house. To his own family. That's where he was supposed to start. He said, go home. And are we thankful enough that we share the good news in our own home? To our own family? Because listen to this, many a times when I was younger, sometimes I would overlook my family because I was so busy trying to keep other people's kids out of hell that I wasn't taking time I should have with my own. Now thank God they came through it and they're all saved today and a lot of benefit to their mother. But we talked about him and salvation. Don't you think this man that was full of 1,000 demons, when he got home, his wife come to the door and said, oh,
oh, yes.
Oh. Oh, what happened to you? And he said, Jesus found me.
Yes.
Let me tell you what happened, baby. And he went in the house. And don't you think his kids walked in the house and said, whoa, is that you, Daddy? Daddy, what happened to you, Daddy? And they said, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. And then, hey, and he said, go on, tell your family and tell your friends what great thing. Don't you think he walked down the store the next day to get a loaf of bread and he went in the store and he's checking out that little cashier and looked over and said, whoa, what happened to you? And he said, let me tell you an old story about Jesus and his love. And then he walked over to the doctor and the doc said, I ain't seen you since they put those last chains on you, boy. What happened to you? We had to chain you up out there in the graveyard to keep from hurting yourself and everybody else. He said, well, I once was lost, but now I'm found, Doc.
Amen. Amen.
That's the evidence that he's thankful.
Yes.
Psalm 107, verse 2, and I'll quit, Thomas. I'm getting, before I preach, as long as you do. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The man was full of devils and Jesus cast them out. Do you think he had locked jaw after that? Do you think he wasn't thankful enough to tell people what Jesus did for him? I think he was, don't you? Amen, amen. I wonder how many of us this week that we're going to be so thankful while the world's going to hell in a handbasket out there, that we're going to be thankful enough to tell people that old, old story.
Amen.
Some of us would be in hell already if it wasn't for him. We'd have been there a long time ago. We wouldn't have made it past 20 years old. Some of us still be sick if it wasn't for him. He's healed us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, some of us still be in and out of jail. Wasn't for him. Amen. Some of us still, hey, we'd have a broken home if it wasn't for him. Except by the grace of God. Now let me ask you something. Are you really thankful?
Yes.
Are you thankful enough to worship him in spirit and truth? Are you thankful? Look, just thankful enough to say, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. Are you thankful enough for walking with him? Will you walk with him? I mean, when the rest of the world's not walking that way, and by the way, that's the way it is. About 10% of us, that's all there is. And the rest of the country's, I'm telling you, after this year, things are never going to be like they were.
Amen.
Are you thankful enough to walk with him even though what they're about to start doing to us? Are you thankful? By the way, if they say shut the church, I'm not doing it anymore. We fell for that once before. I'm not doing that anymore. If they say you can't mention his name in public, well, go ahead and shoot me. Amen. Amen. If they say, well, you can't buy groceries without, hey, I'll just start growing maters again. Well, hey, I'll get Jerry up there with a pellet gun. I got about 25 squirrels in my yard trees. We need some squirrel stew and squirrel pizza and squirrel, pot pie. And we got about 12, 15 rabbits out there. I know how to build a rabbit box. Amen. And run out of them. There's a bunch of cats in the neighborhood. You never know the difference. Amen. Amen. You do whatever you got to do. Amen. I like frog legs, but it's getting cold. It'd be hard to find them. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, are we thankful?
Amen.
Are you thankful enough to go home and tell your family, say, look, you should have went to church with me today. We heard the old, old story today. Are you thankful enough to look at your grown children and say, look, you need to get your children in church.
Right. Amen.
Jesus loves you and I raised you right. You need to get them in church because see, this crowd out here is going to mutilate them and abuse them and everything under the sun sexually now. Jesus is coming. I think we're in the last of the last days. It's time for somebody to stand up and thank the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If you're not saved, you're just not thankful for what he's done. What you need to do is turn to him and say, I want to thank you, God, for letting Jesus die on the cross for me. I don't deserve it. And today I want to receive that. I want to receive him as my Savior. That'd show you thankfulness. Maybe you're a Christian today. You say, well, I got slack on my Bible reading. I'm not praying like I ought to. I'm not studying. I'm not walking that Christian life like I ought to. You ought to rededicate your life and show how thankful you are. And then maybe you say, well, I've done those things, but I'm really not witnessing. I think the atmosphere in our country is not good for witnessing. You'll do it anyway.
Yes.
You'll do it anyway.
Right.
And then every time you get through, you'll walk in your car and say, thank you, Jesus. I just had the opportunity to represent you and witness for you.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, I had a blessing to the reading of your word.